Hello and welcome to the Neocast, a podcast for all those who are interested in neonatology but don't like PowerPoint but still want to stay up to date. In the microphone, Mario Rüdiger. My guest for this special is Professor Dr. Sven Wellmann, President of the European School for Neonatology. So, Sven, nice to hear you.
Hi, Mario. Nice to meet you.
So I'm very excited about this special on the European School of Neonatology. But first, I would like to give a short introduction of my guest today. Professor Dr. Sven Wellmann, you have been active for many years at the ESPR, the European Society for Pediatric Research. From 2014 to 2021, you were treasurer on the board of the ESPR. And since then, you have been a trustee for the ESPR on the American European Board of the International Society for Research in Pediatrics. And since 2021, you are also president of the ESN, European School of Neonatology. So is there anything I've forgotten with reference to the ESN?
Well, thanks for this very kind introduction. I would like to introduce the audience quite briefly to the European School of Neonatology, because I think it's not familiar to everyone. And would like to say that the ESN, so the European School of Neonatology, is a project of the ESPR. And the ESPR, hopefully most of the audience knows, is the society in Europe dealing with research in pediatrics and organizing annual conferences. This year, the GENS conference in Rome. Next year, EAPS meeting in Vienna. So the ESPR started a project a couple of years ago called ESN, European School of Neonatology, to really cover, to put everything together regarding education, teaching, training in neonatology. And within this school, the core is this master program, which will be clinical oriented. And I think this is exactly what we will talk about today.
Yeah, that sounds good. But prior to coming to this topic, in your volunteer work in the ESPR, you had the opportunity to look beyond the clinical day-to-day. Do you have any special experience that you want to share with our audience, which had a particular impact on you?
So honestly, there's not a single event that that was really the most important event to me. No, it's the variety, the meetings, the contacts to a broad membership base of the ESPR with meetings in the US, in different countries. And this is stimulating. This is really giving a lot of motivation and enthusiasm. So this is what I would like to say here, that being ESPR member, being present at the conferences is what really makes a difference to me.
Definitely, I fully agree with that important aspect of meeting colleagues from all over the world within the ESPR. But currently, the training of neonatologists varies from country to country in Europe. Can you tell us very briefly what are the differences in different countries with regard to education in neonatology?
I can try, because it's quite complex and diverse within Europe. It's far from any common track. So neonatology in the most countries in Europe is a subspecialty of pediatrics, and takes 2 to 3 years to do in a full-time position. And the clinical work, so with a patient on the ward, is really the main job you're doing during your education. How this education, how the training is structured, depends largely on the specific, on the individual countries in Europe. And there are countries like Germany and Switzerland where I did my training in pediatrics and neonatology, there the training takes you 2 years. There's an examination at the end. And then there are countries like England, Ireland, where it's much more specific, where there are milestones and the training is, it's a grid training called grid training. It's much more granular. On the other hand, when there are some countries in the south of Europe, there is no training program, so there is no examination at the end of the training, and you just have to work 2 years or 3 years on a dedicated ward, so in neonatology, and afterwards you are a neonatologist. And well, in at least in Germany, but I think also in some other countries, it's largely depends on the size of the regional hospital where you're working, on the how the boss, the head of the department is really dedicated to support you in the training. So it's a large variety which we do have in Europe.
Okay, but why is ISPRA so interested in offering a European school?
This is a combination of some traditional aspects, because ISPRA is mainly driven by neonatologists, so the majority of the members coming from neonatology. This by interest is different to the sister society in the US, so it's a SPR. We together, so the ESPR and the SPR are running the journal Pediatric Research, as you may know. And in the US, it's not a society with mainly neonatologists, but they coming from all the other pediatric subspecialties. And this makes it very interesting to collaborate with the SPR. And probably because of that in Europe, in the ESPR, there are more than 50-60% neonatologists. The ESPR got the possibility 20 to 30 years ago from the European Union of Medical Specialists, so that's the highest European board in medicine, to organize the training in neonatology. And there's a large document with detailed content and regulations. And the ESPR is updating this document regularly, so after 5 to 7 years, something like this. And last time, 2 years ago, there was the latest version ratified. And this is somehow the reason why the ESPR, which is dominant position in neonatology traditionally, and the order by the European Board of Medical Specialists, is somehow in the position to organize training in neonatology.
Okay, but is the European School of Neonatology supposed to equalize national training programs now? Or in other words, does Europe again dictate what we should do?
Well, that's an interesting point and could be somehow a vision. But actually, this is voluntarily. This is a program for where everyone can take part. And the aim of the ESN with this master program is to support the training in Europe, and at the end probably to help to harmonize training to some extent, but it's not meant to really replace the national training right now.
Okay, that sounds good, but it could replace national training in the future. So if you don't have any examination now in some countries, that could be very helpful to get a structured kind of program or training program.
Exactly. I think this is an opportunity to ease the training and to give some guidance throughout Europe.
That sounds good. After having discussed the framework now, I'm, of course, very much interested in how can I imagine the ESN? Can you give a short explanation to our audience?
Well, I would like to start with the ESN as it is, because it's a project, and the ESN as European School of Neonatology is, you can imagine, like an institution with a roof under which all the activities in regard to neonatology in training, education, all what the ESPR is doing already in regards to training in neonatology is together under one roof. This makes it much easier for all the processes involved. And when looking to the master program, to the MAS, to what really is new, this is a competence-based education. And we are somehow inspired by what the American Board of Pediatrics developed in the past years. And there are some quite good publications on this topic in pediatric education, and specifically to what a neonatologist should learn, so competency-based. And there are, in all medical areas, the so-called entrustable professional activities, EPAs. And specifically for neonatology, there are 5 defined EPAs. And with the master program, we really aim to train the young doctors who join the master program to become, after 2 to 3 years of training, locally in their hospital, but led by the ESN with the master program, so that they can advance during this education from a starter position, which is a level 1, EPA 1, to 3 or 4, which is really an advanced expert. And the final level, 5, EPA 5, is a senior consultant or head of a department who not only is having all the knowledge and all the practical skills, but also many years of experience really to guide and to be responsible for everything. So this is how you can imagine the ESN is a school, is an institution, and within the school there's this this offer, this master program, and this master program aims to really educate in a competence-based manner the fellows.
Okay, so that means you will not only have virtual contact, but you will also improve your manual skills, practical skills.
Right. So it's a mixture of both. And this is the difference to the NOTE program. The colleague Mike Hall, Professor Mike Hall, located in Southampton, established 10 years ago the NOTE program. It's a Master of Science in Neonatology, only online. And this is more knowledge and transfer of the current knowledge to the students. This at the end leads to a Master of Science in Neonatology together with the University of Southampton, and is also under the roof of the ESN. In contrast to this academic and online-only program, the new master program we are talking about right now aims to combine the clinical education, so all the practical skills, the contact with the patients, with the parents, what a neonatologist is during the whole day, aims to combine exactly this with a knowledge transfer in both directions. So from the school to the trainee at the specific site, but also questions coming from the local environment, from the hospital, transports them to the school, and hopefully there will be an answer.
Okay, so what does it mean for the local head of department? So if he has a trainee in his hospital or her hospital, what does it mean?
It means that the head of the department where the trainee is working has to sign a contract, an education contract, really stating that he is or she is responsible and will take care for all the competencies and progress, will sign progress reports. And this is a big difference to other master programs. There are so many in different areas, not only medicine, there are, but in economy or in different things. But what we aim with this master program is really to integrate the local training, the clinical work.
Okay, that sounds very practical. At the moment, research is not the main focus in further education, at least in Germany, not. How is that the case with ESN? So is there any aspect of research added?
There is. I would say rather implicit than explicit. So because it will train the latest evidence, so based on the best evidence available, there will also be a training in to understand what means evidence, what is evidence-based medicine, and so on, of course. But there will not be some research projects explicitly. When there is an interest, and we hope with the master program we can motivate the trainees to do also some research. But this depends then on the local possibilities, if there's some funding and so on. But we will, of course, do in parallel regular research how the master program really reaches the needs of the trainees, of the local head of departments. And there will be an ongoing evaluation with some research staff to see whether it works well or we have to correct something.
So at least you have convinced me now. But what are your arguments to convince your young colleagues to participate or to join the ESN?
Well, I think it's an excellent offer because it fits to the time they would like to spend. So they have their daily hour at the work or when they do their shifts. And the possibility with this online training is that it's mostly self-directed. So they can really decide when either on the personal computer, on the tablet, or the mobile phone, they do the courses, they do the case scenarios and meet their tutors. So this is self-directed learning with all technologies available right now. And it's an international program, so it's not local, it's really international. It's a mixture of trainees coming from all countries in Europe, and the tutors and the experts giving some lectures. And of course, and this matters also a lot, the fees. And based on some funds we got, it's possible to lower the fees to a level where you never would get a master education. When I look to economy or to other areas, you have to pay 10,000-20,000 euro easily. So we really try to keep this as low as possible. And I can tell you the first 25 students can pass the first two modules at least. So altogether there are 13 modules. So the whole program covers or is divided in 13 modules. And the first two one are for free for the first 25 students.
Okay, that sounds like a good offer. But now the program is mainly for medical doctors and mainly given in English. Do you have any plans to expand this offer in the future?
Well, we always have visions and plans, and of course, but we really have to stick to the next steps, and this is to bring all these this program or the modules really down to daily school business, so that you really can start soon with the program and have then the onboarding of the students, make sure that everything is working, and then to scale this program up so that we not only have 25, but that we have 50 or even 60, 80, 100 per year coming to do this program. I can envision that nurses working in the neonatology units could join, probably not for all the modules, but for some, that we probably adapt some modules or do some special modules for nurses. And we may translate some modules to local language so that we can really reach everyone in Europe or beyond Europe. So we envision also countries from low and middle income countries to join. And well, so I think this is enough for the next 10 years.
Plenty of opportunities. That sounds good. So that sounds very interesting. So for our audience, do you have anything they can read or a link where they can get some more details about the ESN?
Yes, so we put some information together in an opinion paper. It's called Rationale for Supranational Training in Neonatology. The audience really interested can pick this up and get some more information, for example, on the entrustable professional activities or about didactics anyhow, so how to learn, how education can be improved. This I can recommend.
That sounds good. So the audience can find the link attached to this podcast. So Sven, that was very informative, and I like to hear more about these, and I'm very enthusiastic about starting it. Giving a last kind of take-home message for our audience. So if they are now interested in the activities of ESPR, what would be your argument for joining the ESPR?
I would try to convince people asking me that the ESPR is a platform where you can find professional peers, where you can find colleagues dealing with the same business in medicine, and it's a rich network giving you support, giving you motivation, where you can really ask everything, and reaching at least Europe, but also we have many, many attendees at the conferences coming from the US or from Asia. So this is really a very nice possibility to become a member, have financially many possibilities then, and learn everything you wish in regards to neonatology and beyond.
Okay, that's a good argument, and I fully agree. It's always fascinating to see how neonatology is done so differently in different parts of the world, and not only in different parts of the world, but it's also depending on the caregiver. What is the opinion about neonatology? What is best neonatology? And so I'm always fascinated in these differences, but I'm also very fascinated in collaborating with colleagues from all over the world, and that's a unique opportunity which is given by ESPR. Sven, I thank you very much for this very informative talk. It was nice to hear about this project, and I'm very curious how it goes on.
Thank you, Mario, for the possibility to share all this information and to share some ideas and vision on neonatology in Europe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was it again. The Neocast with a special on the European School of Neonatology together with Professor Wellmann. Thank you for your attention. I remain until next time, your Mario Rüdiger.